Hold on to me, don't let me go. Who cares what they see? Who cares what they know?
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, make it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com. Bobby Bell joins us, NFL Network, Cowboys insider. Dallas heading to Green Bay to take on the Packers. The Cowboys sitting at 6-2. That ties them with the Giants, not that far off from the undefeated Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC East. So what are some of the things that have been working for Dallas this season, and what are some things that maybe we got to pay attention to? Bobby Bell joins us on our Progressive guest line. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. All right. 6-2. If there, with all the Dak Prescott was hurt, Cooper Rush was in, Ezekiel Elliott's hurt, Tony Pollard's in. But if you put all that in a big pot, how do you define the 6-2? What has been the characteristic of this team that stands out?
Defense. I mean, they've just got an elite level defense. As good as they were in the second half of last season, a lot of their ability, a lot of the way that they shut teams down was they took the ball away at an incredibly high rate. I mean, Trayvon Diggs, obviously, we know had those 11 interceptions, but there were a couple other guys in the secondary that year who had career highs in interceptions. You were getting a bunch of pressure and forcing a lot of fumbles, and so takeaways was a big part of why their defense was so good. The first part of this year, they weren't getting a lot of takeaways, and they were still shutting teams down. They are so good taking away the pass. And in the NFL in 2022, that's such a huge key. And that's how you're able to weather a 5-week stretch without your quarterback. That's how you're able to go into Los Angeles and beat the defending Super Bowl champs with your quarterback completing 10 passes, is because that defense is just so strong. And now the takeaways are starting to come around a little bit. And so if they can start taking the ball away at a rate they did last year, coupled with how mature this defense is, how disciplined they play now, that's a scary proposition, and I think is the big reason why the Cowboys are 6-2.
There's this thing with Micah Parsons. He plays linebacker, but he's also played on the edge a few times. Where is he best fit on this team? He's so versatile, but where is he best at?
Yeah, I mean, he's played a ton of edge rusher at this point. I mean, it's a stand-up edge rush. He's coming from sort of the linebacker spot, but he rushes the passer the majority of the time at this point. But he's somebody who can play run fits as the Mike linebacker. He's somebody who can, play in coverage against tight ends. They put him in the slot before and had him cover Terry McLaurin, and he did it well. He broke up a pass. And so there's really nothing that Micah Parsons can't do. We interviewed Jimmy Johnson on our Station 105 Through the Fan yesterday, and Jimmy had said that Micah Parsons may be the greatest player he's ever seen. And so that's high praise coming from a guy who's seen a lot of football and then has a great eye for talent. And so he's somebody that I think they like having him stand up at linebacker because of that versatility, because the defense isn't really sure what he's going to do. They don't know if he's going to drop. They don't know if he's going to spy the quarterback. They don't know if he's going to come, rushing off the edge. That's what he's done the majority of the time is rush, but that ability to do whatever you want with him, disguise him, and then have him just, lean into his abilities to cover just about everything, I think is a big reason for his success and then, in turn, the Cowboys' defensive success.
Where is Ezekiel Elliott in terms of status for this game? And it seems like Tony Pollard fits in just nicely when he's not available.
Yeah, Ezekiel Elliott, I think there was a general feeling that he was going to come out of the bye week and he was going to be a slam dunk to play. Mike McCarthy seemed to throw some water on that on Monday and kind of said, let's see where things are at. Jerry came on our station on Tuesday and said he's going to play. And so then it's like, okay, all right, we're getting a little bit of conflicting messages, which is not, always unusual here in Dallas. And then you had Ezekiel Elliott during Wednesday availability kind of temper expectations a little bit and say, I don't know, we'll see. And that's unlike him. He's usually very direct about, regardless of what the training staff is saying, he's telling us he's playing. That was the first tip-off that he wasn't going to be available for Chicago, was that he was talking like he didn't know if he could play, and that's unusual with him. And so it was a little concerning to hear that on Wednesday, but you talk to people with the team, and they said it was kind of 50-50 on Wednesday, and the Thursday practice when they were in pads was going to be a big tell for them to see how he performed and if he was going to be ready to go. And I think the general sense coming out of the building on Thursday was that he looked good. And so I think the expectation at this point leans a little bit more towards he's going to play against Green Bay on Sunday, but it's no slam dunk at this point. Better today than they did on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And even if he can't go, they've shown that Tony Pollard can, you know, wreck games, 14 carries against the Bears and still rushing for almost 10 yards a carry. I mean, you can see the explosiveness and the home run capability.
Is that an even swap, or is there one guy that allows the Cowboys to do other things offensively than the other guy can't? Or is it just kind of even up?
Man, Tony Pollard just, I think as a pure runner, can do so many more things at this point of his career than Ezekiel Elliott can. Zeke was such a tremendous back early in his career, and he's still a very good back, but this isn't the guy that was voted, you know, seventh best player in the NFL in the NFL top 100 after his rookie year. Like, he's not that guy anymore. But what he does is he you know, runs with power, and he runs through guys, and that's taxing on a defense. And, you know, you'll see he does a really good job in pass protection. That's an area where Tony Pollard has struggled. If you want to pass the ball, if you want the threat of, hey, we've got a back in here, we're going to carry the ball, or might we run some play action and throw it, it's usually a good tell when Tony Pollard's in there that they're not necessarily going to drop back and throw it 40 times because he's not great in pass protection. And so Zeke allows them that uncertainty to the defense of this could be a carry, this could be play action. You know, Zeke could go out on a route. He can, you know, stay back in pass protection. He's a well-rounded all-around player. And I think that that's what they still like about him, even if Tony Pollard is a more dynamic threat as a running back. But, you know, they're pretty much a duo at this point, a 50-50 split. And I think that, you know, they're having a lot of success with that. And even though there's a lot of clamoring for Tony Pollard to get more touches, I think that the Cowboys feel like this is something where we're not going to mess with the formula. This has worked, and this has worked well for both backs. Let's not screw this up.
Injury-wise, is everything good, or is there still some people that may miss and the bye week didn't quite get them ready to go?
No, I think that they should be pretty healthy. I mean, there's several names on the injury report, but that's just, you know, them having to designate certain injuries due to league policy. But everybody pretty much should be back. You've got Anthony Barr, who likely will not play. He was still in sweats yesterday when they practiced in pads. But to be honest, Anthony Barr has been really hit or miss since he got here. And I think that they're really interested to see what they have in the rookie Damone Clark, who came back from the neck surgery he had after the draft or before the draft. And, you know, he made his debut against the Bears a couple weeks ago, played 33 snaps, played well. And so outside of Anthony Barr and Ezekiel Elliott, not a lot of questions really for the Cowboys on the injury report. Packers are a different question, or a different conversation, obviously. I mean, they had 14 starters on their injury report on Wednesday, and it looks like they're going to miss several guys, and that's a big advantage for Dallas when, you know, your opponent's injury report looks like a CVS receipt. That can help you out.
When we talked to in the preseason, one of the concerns was wide receiver. Amari Cooper was gone. Michael Gallup was hurt. There was a big concern about that. How have guys stepped up? CeeDee Lamb, Noah Brown is getting catches. How has that worked out so far as we've reached the halfway point?
It's worked out well enough. They've gotten by with it. CeeDee Lamb's been solid, but I mean, I think the stat is out there. They're still the only team in the NFL this year without a 100-yard receiver. They haven't gotten it. And a lot of that's because Cooper Rush played for a lot of the year. But man, they haven't been able to produce at the same level that they had in the last 3 or 4 years when they had, you know, Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup and CeeDee Lamb out there, or like when they had Randall Cobb mixed in and Cedric Wilson and guys like that. And so it's not been nearly as prolific a passing game. Part of that is Cooper Rush's out or being in there. Scott's absence. Part of that is the receivers just haven't been up to haven't played at a really elite level. And so I think that they like what they've gotten from CeeDee Lamb. Michael Gallup coming off the ACL has not been great. It feels like there's some confidence issues there. But Noah Brown stepped up and played well, but I think they're still really interested in adding another weapon. I think that's why they called the Broncos about Jerry Jeudy at the deadline. I think that's why they were really close to trading for Brandon Cooks at the deadline. And ultimately, I think that's why my guess is here in the next month or so, whenever Odell Beckham signs, I anticipate it will be with the Cowboys. That's the sense I get from that entire organization right now, from Jerry down to Dak to CeeDee Lamb, Ezekiel Elliott. They're all putting on the full court press in the media talking about how much they'd like him here.
All the years that we've done this, Bobby, I should have read that you would go with that, because that was what I was setting up about Odell Beckham. What was the lead? And I knew you'd add that into the answer. Where are we with that? Is that just kind of rumors, or is there some real meat to this?
No, Odell Beckham would like to. I think Dallas is one of the places he likes to play. in Dallas. He gave an interview to Complex last weekend, listed the Cowboys as like one of three or four teams that he could end up playing with, alongside, I think it was the Packers, the Giants, and then the Rams. Packers and Rams have struggled a great deal, and I think if you're looking at the Cowboys and the Giants, which one could he have some success with, some better success with? I think you'd have to say Dallas's passing attack would give him a better opportunity. But yeah, I think that Odell's interest is there, and the Cowboys' interest is certainly there. Jerry Jones went as far on Tuesday as to say, you know, Odell Beckham with that star on his helmet could look pretty good. And once Jerry starts envisioning you in his uniform, man, it might be done, because he's going to get in there and he's going to negotiate hard. But this is an organizational-wide push right now, publicly in the media, for guys who are lobbying for Odell Beckham to get here. And so I think that's significant.
Steady would not be the word I'm using. I'm trying to find a similar word. I mean, when you have a change at quarterback because of injury, it probably loses that definition. But it feels like the Cowboys at 6-2, you know, you lose the opener, then you lose to an undefeated Eagles team. But other than that, you beat the teams you're supposed to beat. You beat them by margins. It feels like this is a season, despite some of the turnover that had to happen because of injuries, this seems to be exactly where you would expect this team to be.
I mean, they're 6-2, just like they were last year.
Yeah.
And that was a, you know, a 12-5 football team. And when you look at the second half of the schedule, it's not unrealistic to think they could finish this season with a better record than they did last year, even. And Dak Prescott talked yesterday about how a lot of he thinks a lot of what's at play here, a lot of their success is just due to their culture and how strong the chemistry is and how much they believe in each other. In fact, that's one of the reasons why they think Odell Beckham would have success here. Ezekiel Elliott had been asked the question about working Odell Beckham into the locker room, and he said, there's not anybody you could bring in here who wouldn't fit into our locker room because we've just got such strong chemistry. And so I think that that's a big reason for a lot of the success they've had, even through the injuries and everything else. And I mean, they're really primed. If they add Odell Beckham, even if they don't, just getting Dak Prescott back and getting that rhythm back with his receivers. I think they're primed to be an even better football team in the second half. And in a vulnerable NFC and a vulnerable NFL, you know, I think this is one of the better shots Dallas has had during this, you know, 26-27-year drought.
These coaches are laser-focused. I get it. I would understand if Mike McCarthy doesn't make this a big deal. But has he given any sort of feeling about what it will be like to go back to Lambeau Field?
Yeah, he tried to play the whole, you know, oh, it's a game, and
yeah,
it's just another game, and we're going to try and win it, and yada, 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 and, you know, lying through his teeth. And his emotions betrayed him a little bit later when, you know, people started asking questions about how will it feel to go back to Green Bay, what do you miss about the community, and he started getting choked up. And then he told us, he used an expletive, he said, you know, this is BS, y'all are trying to get me to cry, and he's like, I don't appreciate this. And so I think it's a big emotional game for him, for sure, and I think that the entire locker room is aware of that, and the way they've talked this week is that's added added juice for them this week, is they want to win this game for their head coach.
It wasn't like he had a cup of coffee there, won a Super Bowl, he was there for a really long time, which is very rare in the NFL when you have that kind of...
He's got a street named after him there.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
That's right. Bobby, great stuff as always, my friend. Thanks for joining us, and we appreciate you. We'll get you down the line, my man.
Appreciate you.
Bobby Belt, NFL Network, Cowboys Insider. Yeah, they all do that, right? They always go, no, it's nothing. It's nothing. But, you know, we're all human, man. You spend time in one place, and you go back, and it's going to be emotional. It's an emotional moment for Mike McCarthy. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sportsman Radio.